If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone, welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I am your host, Jacob Reimer. Episode 59, closing in on episode 60 here. Took a little break, took a little hiatus, if you want to call it. Just giving myself some time, focusing on my writing for Ohio State basketball on Scarlet and Game Fansided. If you want, just you want to go check those out and give me some views there. I'd appreciate that. You could literally either go to our website, Scarlet and Game, or literally just search my name on Google, Jacob Reimer, and it's like the second option that comes up, and it goes straight to all the articles I've written. But we are back here, and the Ohio State basketball team, Buckeye basketball, is back. They are so back. They are getting some big-time recruits. They're looking good in the Bahamas. I'm getting excited for college basketball. We're in almost a preseason mode. We're not there yet. Yeah, we got the rankings and stuff going about and scheduling going on and stuff, but we're not officially preseason mode yet with like the first rankings and stuff like that. We can have our way too early predictions and stuff like that. Speaking of which, Joe Lenardi posted his like way too early bracketology and is completely shafting the Ohio State basketball team. And unfortunately, as of right now, he's predicting Kentucky and Duke to both be playing in Columbus in the first and second rounds of this year's NCAA tournament, which I'm very depressed about because I do not want to watch both of those teams at all. I'm okay. I can be okay with Kentucky, but still not okay with it. They're going to be a one seed more than likely, and out of all the top seeds, like where each top seed would be playing at, Columbus is definitely closest for Kentucky, so it makes sense. But Duke is a 3 in that region, actually projected, thankfully. It's just a projection, and I mean, this still could happen. I hope it doesn't, but we'll see. We're not even there yet. Preseason mode, not even happening yet. But first, the Ohio State basketball team is back. They are so very back. It's awesome. They went 2-0 in the Bahamas. They beat Egypt's national team 72-68, and they beat Puerto Rico's national team 75-68. And yeah, it's Egypt, it's Puerto Rico. You can think of that like, yeah, they're not mainly for their basketball. You don't think of them for their basketball, and they don't produce the big time athletes like the U.S. does. Or you get Giannis from Greece, you get Luka from Slovenia. You wouldn't expect that from any of these national teams. Alfonso Plummer was on Puerto Rico, and Plummer gave Ohio State buckets at Illinois last year, hitting 8 threes in Illinois' loss to Ohio State and Champaign. EJ Liddell flew game. Malachi Branham went nuts that game too. But regardless, they played Egypt. They beat Egypt in a close game, and Egypt is ranked like 15th nationally. Like, these games, like you can think, okay, yeah, Auburn, they lost to Israel, which is kind of embarrassing, but it's these guys are pros playing against 18, 19-year-old guys, like college players. Ohio State, brand new roster, lot of new faces, transfers, a lot of incoming freshmen, and they looked great. They beat the 15th ranked national team in the world. And that's saying a lot. Like, these guys are pros playing against college guys, and the college guys beat them. That's saying a lot about this Ohio State team. They're tough, they're resilient, they're unselfish. Like, all the clips that I've seen, I'm just getting so excited. It's fun. Dude, stop playing. Oh my gosh. Oh no, never mind. Swear I thought I just deleted my outline. Oh my gosh. I have it on my phone. And I thought I hit back button, but it started a new note instead, and I thought I deleted my outline, but we're good. The freshmen looked great, like I said. Bryce Sandoval had 20 in the first game, Second game he had 20. He took the most shots in both games. Freshman, this guy can flat out score. Bruce Thornton is going to be a dog. Tanner Holden is a really good player that they got coming in from Rice State. I'm very excited for this Buckeye team. Zed Key looked great in the videos that I saw. The roof was being raised internationally. Finger guns and roof being raised. The energy is there. The leadership is there. It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait for Ohio State basketball. It's just great. I'm very excited for this team. I like Bruce Thornton a lot. He's a point guard that Ohio State has been missing a lot. They haven't gotten a true point guard like that probably since Aaron Craft. Like, this guy is a floor general. He can create for others. He can create for himself. He can get to the basket, finish against anybody. I'm very excited for him. Other than the Bahamas, they had a great week. Like, great week in general from this time last week to now, landing two very, very great players in the 2023 class. Ohio State now has four commits, three of which are coming from Ohio State and in-state, and they ranked third in the class nationally in 2023 behind Duke and Kentucky. And Ohio State is the only school to have top three recruiting classes right now in both football and basketball. I don't think that with the group of guys that they have now and with the guys coming in that there's not going to be any more people added to this class for Ohio State, so they're probably still going to be in there, but that's okay because this class is loaded already. George Washington, Austin Perks, and now Devin Royal, who committed last Wednesday from Pickerington Central, local guy here in Columbus area, and they just landed Scotty Middleton. Both, like, I watched the live stream for both of those. It was so exciting. I was on the golf course actually for Scotty Middleton's, and the hype was around him, I guess, because he was a five-star, and you're like, okay, is Ohio State really going to land this guy? Like, Devin Royal, I kind of expected. He's from Pickerington, which is like less than 30 minutes from the shot. And I'm like, okay, yeah, they got to get him. They're going to do anything they can to get him, and they got him. He's an in-state guy, one of the best player in the state. You got to get him. Then they're in the mix for Scotty Middleton, who may or may not be related to Chris Middleton. Don't know that. I don't have the tools to look that up either. But I'm sitting on the golf course, make the turn. We start on the back. We go to the front. It's like 8 o'clock when he's on the live announcing his commitment. And I'm going through, having a blast, and just sitting there on the live stream, driving up to my ball, watching. And he said he's going to Ohio State. Put on the Ohio State hat, everything. Everyone's going crazy in the live. I'm going crazy, fist bumping and everything from the fairway. And speaking of my golf round, that making the turn, it was like 8 o'clock at night. Only got through five holes. I was one under through the first five holes, bogey free. So props to me there. I very, very, very sad that I couldn't finish the round. But sitting there partying because Scotty Middleton is a Buckeye. Couldn't get off Twitter because, like, I'm tweeting everything. Like, oh, Scotty Middleton, Buckeye's got a big, big recruit here. And, like, this class is insane. It's insane. Like, I'm so pumped for the future of Ohio State basketball. Following up two really good classes, things are going well and in the right direction for the Ohio State basketball program. And I couldn't be more happier because we haven't had anything like this since Jared Solinger, Aaron Craft days, where we were getting those loaded recruiting classes, having those good teams, being in the mix, being a ranked, highly ranked team. And they're projected to be a 10 seed, one of the first teams out, according to Joe Lenardi. But Ohio State, the Big Ten, is a little down this year. They're losing 95% of its scoring from last year. Going to be a completely different league other than Trace Jackson Davis and Hunter Dickinson and Zed Key, a few guys there. But they're still going to be in the mix. Like, Indiana, the Big Ten runs through Bloomington 100%. They return the most out of any team, the most firepower out of any team. But between like 2 and 6 maybe in the Big Ten rankings, they can all be switched. Like Ohio State, Michigan State. Who else is in there? Purdue, Illinois, I'm very high on this year as well. That's 5 teams right there. And who else could you throw in? You could probably throw in a Wisconsin. They're always in the mix. But I don't know. It's going to be fun this year. And Ohio State has the tools to compete and win a Big Ten championship, in my opinion. What I saw in the videos is that they were going with a little bit of a 5-out or a 4-out, 1-in, Zed Key on the inside, and spreading the floor, getting out in transition, and all that. And that's how basketball should be played. That's the great brand of basketball. And with these freshmen, I think that fits them well. Chris Holtmann did a great job. Chris Holtmann and Jake Diebler. Jake Diebler is a name that does not get mentioned enough. And him and Brian Hartline are literally identical. It's insane. But Chris Holtmann, what he has done to keep his job at Ohio State by recruiting, having 2 really solid recruiting classes these past 2 years, 2022, that's coming in this year, and then 2023, next year, with the Devin Royal, George Washington III, Scotty Middleton, those guys. What he's been able to do, and if he can keep some of the core from this year's team to next year, is going to be so awesome. Like the Big Ten next year, if they return mostly everybody, which they should, I don't see a ton of guys leaving. I don't think Sansabaugh has... I mean, we said this about Branham last year. We weren't expecting it, but I mean, Sansabaugh is a guy that I could see popping off. I hope that Thornton doesn't. I hope Sansabaugh doesn't. I hope Roddy Gale doesn't. But I see them all coming back. I think we still have Justice Suing for 1 more year. Seth Towns is on his 7th year, so he's done after this. Zed Key will be back. He doesn't have the size for the NBA. And Tanner Holden more than likely will be back, but Sean McNeil, I don't know about Isaac Likely, but yeah, I think with the recruiting class they have coming in next year, if they return everybody and keep the core, the Big Ten will run through Columbus. And we haven't said that probably since 2012. I can't think of they were always right there in the mix in the top 3, but 2012 with Diebler, Solinger, Kraft, Buford, Leidy, you name them. Like, they were, that was the number 1 overall team in the NCAA tournament that year. Like, they were unstoppable. The Big Ten ran through Columbus. And it's becoming that way because of how great Chris Holtmann is as a recruiter and the coaching staff he has around him. I read or heard somewhere, like, with these guys here, what Holtmann's doing a great job of is keeping the in-state talent in Ohio by coming to Ohio State. Yeah, they're losing Gabe Cups from Centerville going to Indiana, but like, you look at the past, like Jerome Hunter from Pick North went to Indiana, now back in state at Xavier, not Ohio State. Dane Goodwin was committed to Ohio State, but then decommitted and went to Notre Dame. Luke Kennard, arguably one of the best scorers that's ever played in Ohio high school basketball history, went to Duke. I mean, arguably, when you get that blue blood offer like a Duke or a Carolina, you're gonna go there. That's going to sway you. That's going to weigh heavily on you. Sterling Manley, Jeremiah Francis, both from Pick Central, went there. Caris LeVert to Michigan. Ohio State was losing all those big-time recruits during the late Thad Matta years, and kind of at the beginning of Holtmann's era because you didn't know what he was going to bring. Now he's beginning to take a priority on the in-state guys like Devin Royal, George Washington III, Austin Perks, and now you add in a Scotty Middleton, a 5-star, the highest recruit Holtmann's landed during his tenure at Ohio State. That's big time. That's going to keep your job. Yeah, we want Ohio State to succeed and get to the Sweet 16, get to the next weekend of the tournament, compete for a Big Ten championship and win regular season and Big Ten championship, riding the momentum into March and going on a deep run to an Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four, national championship. We want to see that. And what he is doing now on the recruiting trail, that is putting him in the right direction to get to that next level and getting to the second weekend and the third weekend of the NCAA tournament. And that is very exciting to see. As I'm looking here in my room on my posters right by my bed of the last time Ohio State was good, and not, I mean, they've been good the past couple of years, but where it ran through Columbus, posters of Aaron Kraft, William Buford, Jaren Sollinger, or Aaron Kraft, Shannon Scott, Sam Thompson, who could just float, LaQuinton Ross, Lenzel Smith, who my dad cannot stand, Amir Williams, who was a great piece for them, Trey McDonald. Like, those teams were good, and like, you were excited to go watch them. They packed the arena. Recently, they've been good because of the recruiting that Chris Holman has been able to do with EJ Liddell, Dwayne Washington, Malachi Branham, those guys. And now you look down the line of recruits coming in, Bruce Thornton, Bryce Sansabaugh, you got transfers, Tanner Holden, those kind of guys coming in. It's getting exciting in Columbus. You got Ohio State football, who's always in the mix, always a top-tier program, and Ohio State basketball is climbing that ladder and becoming that program again. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Top five Ohio State players that I'm most excited to watch after their Bahamas trip. Number five, I got Isaac Likely, transfer from Oklahoma State. This dude is a tremendous 3-and-D guy. He goes down in the post when he needs to, backs down guys, scores through contact, is a tremendous defensive player, gets in the passing lanes, makes things difficult when he's defending the ball, poking at the guy, getting steals, getting deflections, just making things difficult. That's going to be huge for this team to succeed in March. And getting to that next weekend is getting defensive stops, having reliable defensive players, defensive athletic wings. Like, Isaac Likely is so athletic. It's insane. I'm very excited to watch him and the leadership that he brings. He's been one of the main leaders on this team so far during their summer workouts. My fourth is Zed Key. Zed Key, who is going to be a guy that has a breakout year this year and is just going to... could be on first team. He could be, if he does what he needs to do, be the leader, score well, like average 15 or more, which he easily could because he's going to be a top option in the offense. Defend well, which he's been defending well. He's been physical, which is like, he needs to be quick. He needs to be physical with defending guys in the Big Ten, like Trace Jackson Davis, Hunter Dickinson, Zach Edey. Because he doesn't have the size like those three do. He's going to have to match them with his strength, his physicality, and his quickness. And he has done a great job of that so far. He looks slimmer to me, honestly. And that's huge for him. He's going to continue to raise the roof, continue to do those finger guns. He's just going to have a breakout year this year. And I am so excited to see it. My third is Tanner Holden, the transfer from Wright State. He's a hometown kid, another Ohio kid, down southern Ohio, Wheelersburg area, I think, Portsmouth, close to it. But Tanner Holden, lefty, he's been shooting a lot and scoring a lot during their workouts and their summer games, summer exhibition games, been scoring well, been consistent, can get to the basket, shoot the ball really well, and that's huge. Like, that's what I'm loving right now with this Ohio State team is they have a ton of shooters. And we haven't had that in many years. And if they're knocking down shots on the outside, it's going to open up shots on the inside. Let Zed Key go to work and be the main factor on the offensive end. And if you're knocking down shots on the outside, it's game over. My second most excited player to watch is Bryce Sansabaugh, because this dude can absolutely score the rock. He is unstoppable. Like, he can score on all three levels, get to the paint, use his physicality and strength. He's a bigger body. He kind of reminds me of Dwayne Washington. He's just bigger than him. He's quick. He's athletic. He can shoot the ball. He is going to be a Buckeye great. not, I mean, like, he could be like a Malachi Branham. It's going to be so exciting to watch Sansabaugh this year. And number one is Bruce Thornton, who I think is going to get the starting point guard position, be given the keys to the offense, and he's just going to run with it. He's a great facilitator. He's a floor general, like I said earlier. And he can create for others. He can finish against anybody using his strength. I mean, he was still, I mean, yeah, he's played great, but like, he still played like a freshman. He had those timely turnovers. Those are going to happen here in the summer workouts. They're going to get corrected come season time. But Bruce Thornton is going to be a star next year. And he's been a point guard that Ohio State's been missing for years, like I said earlier. And it's going to be great for them. They desperately needed a guy like Bruce Thornton, and they got him. He's going to be a huge addition and see a big role next year, or this upcoming season, for the Ohio State basketball team. So that's all my Ohio State talk that I have for this podcast. Next up, Coach Cal, John Calipari, is avoiding the kennel. So Gonzaga and Kentucky set up a home-and-home series starting this year. First game is in Gonzaga, November 20th, I think a part of Feast Week. And, I mean, this is seriously becoming the new Coach K and Duke, like, only wanting to play your games at neutral sites, not true road games. So here's what happened. I'll give you a little rundown here. So Coach Calipari hosts a telethon at Kentucky for all the flooding and stuff that's happened in Kentucky. Tragic. It's very sad what's going on down there with all the flooding and like people losing their lives, their homes, everything. It's truly sad what's going on now down there. What John Calipari did was awesome doing the telethon, but he kept hinting at a big announcement coming out. And during the telethon, Mark Few calls in, the head coach of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, who is going to be another top team this year, just like Kentucky. And they set up a home-and-home series right there on the telethon. Starting this year, Kentucky going to Gonzaga first. And then next year, Gonzaga coming to Rupp Arena. And a lot of things were going down about it. Ended up not. It's at Rupp Arena, the second part. But let me pull up these tweets. There we go. They are not playing it at Gonzaga's home arena, the Kennel, which only holds like 6,000 fans. They're playing at Spokane Arena, which is in Gonzaga area, and that holds nearly 12,000 people. So it's not technically a true home and home, you know, like, because it's not actually at Gonzaga's home arena. And let me pull up these tweets from John Calipari that he made the day of the telethon and the announcement of the home and home. He said, "I'm excited about playing Gonzaga. I'm disappointed that we have to go there first, but to make it happen, I was willing to do that. Playing in front of 13K crazy fans in Spokane Arena will be exciting, just like it will be in front of 22K fans in Rupp next year." So, like, all this time he'd been hinting at Spokane Arena. He's not saying the kennel. So, like, they're not playing at Gonzaga. Then he says in the tweet, "I imagine there will be some hashtag BBN, Big Blue Nation, and some Gonzaga fans, too, who will sneak in the game this year because there's more seats." Then says, "Anybody that wants us to play in a 6,000 seat facility wants us to lose." Well, I mean, yeah, it's a home and home. Like, you're kind of supposed to lose the next game. Anyways, "wants us to lose. And I get that. I tried to look back and find the last time UK played in a true regular season road game with 6,000 or fewer fans. I stopped looking after the 70s. Then he said, "This is great for both schools, and I can't wait to get the series started. Maybe we make this 4 years," with the like little eyeball emoji, like, ooh, like, this could be a thing. So, that happened, and it's, I don't even know, like, it's, he does it again. Like, he kind of fell off a little bit on the recruiting these past few years, but now he's picking it back up. Next year's class is insane for them so far, and they're going to get DJ Wagner, number one overall guy, and now they're scheduling up a home-and-home. And this is a big-time home-and-home matchup or setup between Gonzaga and Kentucky, because it's going to be two top five programs next year. You got the reigning National Player of the Year in Oscar Tshiebwe, the returning projected number one player in Drew Timmy. Like, this is going to be an outstanding game. But it's not a true home-and-home because it's not at Gonzaga. It's at Spokane Arena. It's not on Gonzaga University. It's not at the Kennel. And, I mean, yeah, this is great for basketball. Oscar Tshiebwe versus Drew Timmy. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting for sure. Part of Feast Week, I think. But, like, this, Kentucky is becoming, now with Coach K gone and all the hype and attention was on Duke, Jay Wright's retired, Roy Williams is retired. It's now all back on John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats. And as he said himself, that he hasn't seen Kentucky play in a true road game in with 6,000 or less in since he stopped looking after the 70s. I mean, yeah, you don't see these guys play true. You don't see a Calipari, you don't see a Coach K playing true road games. They kind of like bounced off of each other, like with Kentucky recruiting all the one and dones, then Duke hopped on the train. Duke not playing true road games in the non-conference, just playing at neutral sites, like this game literally is going to be at a neutral site. And now Kentucky's following in with that. I mean, we used to have every year, every other year, Kentucky and North Carolina playing against each other, and now they have the CBS Sports Classic where they could potentially play each other. And so they don't do that anymore, but it was every other year. North Carolina would play at Rupp, and then the other year, Kentucky would play at the Dean Dome. And, yeah, the Dean Dome is much bigger, much louder, bigger environment, and crazy fans. It's one of the most historic programs ever. Same like in Rupp. It's, I mean, so it evens out. But, like you see Roy Williams, you see Jay Wright last year. Jay Wright they took Villanova to UCLA last year. Roy Williams, if they don't have, I'm just thinking about it today, like if they aren't given an away game for the ACC Big Ten Challenge, then he tries to schedule a true road game at a top mid-major, and like letting the mid-major schools get to experience what it's like hosting a top-tier program. And just a few years ago, in the COVID year when North Carolina was down, they went to Gonzaga and played at the Kennel. And the year before that, Gonzaga played at North Carolina. And it was like all the hype was around it, rematch of 2017 National Championship. And like North Carolina, then the following year, even though they were bad, one of the worst teams that Roy Williams has ever had, they went to the Kennel, played at Gonzaga's home arena in front of 6,000 true Gonzaga fans. They got their butts kicked, but they went to the Kennel. They didn't worry about playing at a neutral site in Spokane Arena in Spokane, Washington. They went to Gonzaga University and played on their home floor. You don't see that much in college basketball. You're starting to see it now in college football with the strength of schedule for the playoff mattering so much to the playoff committee. Like, you look at Ohio State football this year, they have a home-and-home set up with Notre Dame. Notre Dame this year at Ohio State, and then next year at Notre Dame. In a few years, they have a home-and-home setup with Texas. And actually, in the same season, they play Texas and Washington in the same season. And two Power 5 schools right there. You also, they just played Oregon last year. They've played Oklahoma in the past. They've played TCU in the past. They have it set up to play Bama home-and-home series here in a few years. And with Georgia. So Ohio State's beefing up their schedule. You're starting to see that now in college football because it's mattered so much by the committee. I wish we could see it more in college basketball. You see it at the neutral sites. I mean, like last year we had Gonzaga and Duke on a random Tuesday night in Vegas. Like, it was just a random Tuesday night in Vegas, neutral site game, let's do it. And it happened. And then was the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Like, yeah, Kentucky, they had to go to Allen Fieldhouse last year against Kansas. They destroyed Kansas. But, like, they had to do that. It was scheduled that way for that series of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. That's what happens now with Duke. They don't schedule that many non-conference true road games. It's either a neutral site or it's has to be scheduled. You don't see that happen much in college basketball, and it would be great. This kind of goes here into our next discussion about should more teams do home and homes. They absolutely should. It brings more viewers into college basketball to watch top five programs that you may, I mean, they announced that they're playing, oh yeah, we're playing at Gonzaga this year. They announced that like just recently. And like, North Carolina never wanted to do a home and home with Kansas. Roy Williams never did because that's where he last coached. So yeah, that wasn't going to happen. But they did with Gonzaga. Duke just set up with Arizona. We're seeing a changing of the guard here with coaching. John Shire might want to do that. Go to have true road games and test their guys a little bit before conference play and give them a true loud environment before they get into the beef of the Virginia, the North Carolinas, the Florida State, the Syracuses of the ACC, Virginia Tech, which is a loud atmosphere. Clemson is a loud atmosphere that I've seen when they play North Carolina. Like, these teams in the ACC, like Duke and North Carolina, SEC with Kentucky, they have targets on their back because they are the three blue bloods. They are the three most powerful programs in all of college basketball. They have the target on their back whether they're good or not. And like that North Carolina year when they were bad and they still went to Gonzaga, it still meant a lot for those Gonzaga fans because nobody goes up to Spokane that much. Like, Gonzaga is a mid-major conference still. As they're still in a mid-major conference with all the changing of the conferences, they could move into the Pac-12 now, which I think they should. It'd be great for them. But they stay in a mid-major. In the past, they had trouble getting bigger programs like this coming up to Spokane. Last year, they had Texas come up there. They had somebody else, I thought. I can't remember. For some reason, I thought they had somebody else come up there. Maybe it was just because like they were playing Texas, they were playing UCLA, and they were also playing Duke in the non-conference because Gonzaga plays cupcakes in their conference, so they want to beef up their non-conference by playing these top-tier programs. They're playing Kentucky now, so now they've played North Carolina 2019-2020. In 2021, they played Baylor. Or no, they played West Virginia. And they played Kansas in 2021. They were supposed to play Baylor, but couldn't. Last year, they played Texas, UCLA, and Duke. I don't know who else other than Kentucky that they are playing this year. So, I mean, that's Gonzaga's doing what college basketball needs more of. You got Duke and Arizona coming up for a home-and-home series, which is going to be great. Two historical programs right there. Maybe see and you're not going to see North Carolina and UCLA, but you could see a Duke and UCLA, which would be really cool to see Duke at the Pavilion or UCLA at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Kansas and Duke would be nice. Same with Carolina and Kansas. Seeing a startup of North Carolina and Kentucky again would be pretty cool. Or just, I mean, I guess an ACC school. You throw in Michigan State, you throw in Indiana with like a Kentucky or a Kansas, something like that. It brings in more viewers. It creates more blockbuster matchups. I mean, Houston, they're a top team this year, and they're playing Bama to follow up a home-and-home series that started last year. That's going to be good. I'm pretty sure they're starting one with Virginia, and that's two top 15 programs right there. It's building more excitement for the non-conference. Yeah, you got the Feast Week, all the tournaments. Those are neutral site courts. Like, at Ohio State, they played Villanova for the Gavitt Games. They've just played Duke. At Ohio State, you don't get many programs like that, blue blood programs like that, coming into Columbus. And if that happened more, that's going to fill up the arena more there, which they've had problems with in the past. And it's going to get more viewerships. More viewers, more people watching, like I've said many times now. And it would just be great matchups for basketball in general. Like, I mean, last year we saw Villanova and Baylor. So, I mean, it's getting there. It's happening a little bit, seeing teams playing true road games, but don't count on it from Kentucky and Duke much. We haven't seen that in the past. And, I mean, it could happen with North Carolina here in a few years. Hubert Davis still trying to get his feet wet a little bit. They're playing at Indiana this year, but they have to for the Big Ten ACC Challenge. They're playing in the PK-80. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see here, but one thing is confirmed is that Coach Cal is avoiding the Kennel. He does not want to go to Gonzaga, and that's just going to get Gonzaga even more fired up and want to pack the arena so much that Kentucky fans don't get a seat, which would be great. Like, yeah, throw in 12,000 true Gonzaga fans there. How awesome would that be? Sorry, Big Blue Nation. You don't get any seats because this is ours. We're mad that you don't want to come to the Kennel in a true Gonzaga atmosphere, which is very, very loud, kind of like a Texas Tech or a Cameron Indoor Stadium. Not holding many seats, very loud atmosphere. Go and do it. It's great for basketball. If you lose, you lose. It's early in the season. It doesn't affect much. It gives your guys experience in a tough atmosphere. It's fun. Do it. It's great for basketball. Great for college basketball. So, yeah. Home and homes should be, there should be more home and home series in college basketball. It would make the sport even better and get even more viewers. Get people tuned in to the non-conference more. Because, like, that's during football season. A lot of people are focused and not really paying attention because it's towards the end of the college football season, NFL is going on. People really don't tune into college basketball until the calendar flips and you're in conference play by then. You don't know much about these guys because you've been so focused on your college football team, your NFL team that just got bounced out of the playoffs. And now you're trying to pick up speed of where your college basketball team is sitting at here as we get closer to March. It would bring more attention to that and to the non-conference, put more priority and emphasis on watching the non-conference games. It'd be fun. It'd be great for the sport. 100%. So that's all we got for today. That's the show. That's the podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. Leave a like, comment, review, whatever you want to do. Thank you guys again so much for tuning in. This is Beyond the Arc. We will see you next time.